Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a large multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great number of people heard about everything that he was doing and came to him. And he told his disciples to see that a boat would be ready for him because of the masses, so that they would not crowd him. For he had healed many, with the result that all those who had diseases pushed in around him in order to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." And he strongly warned them not to reveal who he was. We come to a transition now in Mark's narrative. And he makes a move to the sea. In this next section, goes through maybe like chapter 8 or so. And we're going to see again Jesus' ministry expand. We're going to see Jesus' notoriety grow. And coming off of what happened last week, we're going to see the conflict with the traditions and the views of the Pharisees and the other teachers of the law grow. And so that's what we're following. Now, I entitled this sermon, Follower or Fan? Because we are starting to see a transition in Jesus' ministry of some choices that are made. Now, as we see the sea, here it is, right? He goes to the sea. And so most of the next section is going to be around the sea and on the sea, different things. You can see all kinds of things. And in this, again, we're seeing more and more and more the results, the ministry of Jesus in showing what it looks like that the kingdom is here. What this kingdom is, what it's about, how it works, the values of the kingdom. And the result of this is crowds of people. Crowds of people. The picture is just, I mean, if you can picture your head, just masses of people from all around are gathering, so much so that Jesus had to ask for a boat because they're pressing in on him so much. They're literally, the words that are used here are show that falling over each other. You know, climbing, you know, I want to touch him. You picture a crowd going to some pop star's concert or something, you know, just the, let me touch him. I just touch him, right? That's the picture here. Crowds and crowds of people. And we're seeing then Jesus' ministry of healing, restoration, and it's just a blanket ministry. You know, all these people who heard about it are coming to him. This kingdom of God is an infection, right? In God's kingdom, you know, the disease and sickness, they're the opposite. The infection, the contagion is the ministry, the love of Christ, the healing, the wholeness. And in touching, it goes out to them and takes over. That's what we're looking at here. We're seeing again that ministry of touch, of Jesus' willingness to touch. We're seeing that also in the people who are coming. The description that Mark gives Jerusalem and the area, but also all around. Even from maybe some, you know, bit suspect areas where shady folks, maybe Jews who aren't in full, you know, good standing, or even Gentiles. All these areas around, and they're all hearing about it. And you see why. I mean, people are actually healed. I mean, blind people seeing, crippled people just standing, walking, withered hands, all of a sudden right before their eyes becoming whole. I mean, this is impressive stuff. Very exciting. Very, very exciting. And we also see here the authority of Jesus as the bringer of the kingdom. Demons are falling over in front of them. I picture too, if you recall in the Old Testament, when the god Dagon fell before when the ark was stolen, and then they put it before their god Dagon, and in the morning it came out, and then God was flat on its face before the ark. Okay, that's kind of what's happening here. They see Jesus, oh my gosh, and they're down. The authority of Jesus is showing through here. So on that scene, there's a few things I want to help us ponder. All right? As you think about this ministry of the kingdom of God that you've put forth, I'm struck again at just the broadness and the inclusivity of this ministry. All right? Now, in our culture these days, I know the word inclusive, and some people get tight and they, whatever. But this it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, all these people came. Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, and it just was, come. We sang it today, right? Come to the altar. Come. And Jesus did not turn them away. His compassion, his heart for people was so great, and he just did whatever he could to try to minister. It wasn't limited by borders or status or economics or politics, whatever, it didn't matter. They just pressed in, falling over each other, trying to just touch this man. In the kingdom of God, there's a wholeness, a peace, a healing that happens, and people desire that, they want that. Just to be close to Jesus, just to touch him, just to experience that grace. Just across the board. It's quite striking. The caution that I see here possibly is that we have to be careful in our thinking of, when we think of ministry, and for some very practical reasons, okay, I will caution my words here, but sometimes in our thinking, we, with limited resources and our time, all kinds of things, we want to prioritize our ministry, our resources to the most deserving, right? And there's something to be said there. I mean, no doubt about it. In our conversations here in this church, we've talked about, you know, ministries to support, missionary support, and we have to think through these things, right? But as a lifestyle, as a people, the kingdom of God ministry is just so lavish, you know, and so we have to just be careful that. Desire in our hearts sometimes to pick and choose or think, oh, they deserve, they don't. You know, I would say, hey, just when the opportunity is there, you take it. You know, today after the service, I'll put one of the offering plates in the back for our benevolent offering. I'll encourage you to add to that. You know, so we have some money that I would love to just spend. You know, and have, you know, someone comes, I need gas. Great, have some gas. Oh, I'm hungry. Hey, sure, have some food, whatever. You know, and I don't ask questions. I really don't. If you need some help, yeah, could someone take advantage of me for $20? Yeah, that's fine. But in the kingdom of God, this, you know, so we have to be careful that the kingdom of God ministry that Jesus is showing here is just so lavish. It's just free. Yes, come, all of you. I want to help you. We see also that it's close and personal. The crowds are in there. Jesus, it's messy. I mean, just, you know, picture it in just crowds. Have you ever been in a real heavy crowd of people? A few times I've been in real heavy crowds. I went to a concert once where it was just, you know, literally like this, you know, and quite honestly, some of these folks kind of could have used a little more personal hygiene. You know, there's something to be said. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, but yet you're still part of the crowd. Nothing you can do, right? You just go along. That's just how it is. I can't imagine just the mass of humanity. Plus, there's disease and sickness that's coming through, you know what I mean? And they're all pressing in. But there was Jesus' willingness to touch those who no one was willing to touch. This kingdom of God ministry is broad, it's inclusive, it's close, it's personal. And it's about people. It's about restoration. You know, Jesus' ministry was not concerned about causes. His ministry here was not concerned about cultures, not concerned about Rome, not concerned about politics. It was about people, about restoring people, restoring humanity, restoring goodness and wholeness to make things how they should be. And it's not about governors and rulers or cultures or whatever. It was about people. And so as we think of our ministries, we think about what we do, of our time, our money, our thoughts, our energy. No, there's a place. You know, in our world, as we're salt and light, we resist evil. We speak out against what's wrong and uplift what's right. But as God's people, I just sometimes we gotta make sure or check ourselves, check our hearts. I mean, I'm talking myself here, folks. Okay, please, I'm not finger pointing here. Trust me, I'm looking at myself here. That we check our hearts in just the world we live in, and what am I thinking about? What makes me upset? What is it I put my energy towards? Is it good, godly things? Is it about people and not structures necessarily? In overall thinking. We want to promote righteousness and promote the kingdom of God. And so we see that in Jesus' example, it's about people. So this brings me to my question of, and my question for you today is, are you a fan or are you a follower? Because, you know, every time there's these great crowds, we see them in Jesus' ministry. All over the place, right? Happens often, as it's going to, because it's quite the guy, right? The crowds are never described in, I want to say, a super favorable light. You know, I mean, they're there, but you know, there's nothing there said, oh, you know, commending the crowds or this is awesome, you know, but they just are, right? Because crowds can be fickle things. Well, it's Palm Sunday, right? We're going to see very quickly in the Holy Week that crowds can be very, very fickle. That in just 6 days, they go from Hosanna to crucify him. All right? So that's the danger of our crowd mentality. And so sometimes we can make a mistake. And even in our thinking today, we can mistake fans for followers. All right? Fans are attracted to spectacle. They are want to be part of what's trendy, what's cool, what's popular in the moment. And in this moment here, it's Jesus. Okay? Hashtag Jesus is trending. And so the crowds are there. Now, again, remember, Jesus did not turn them away. All right? His heart was for the crowd. He loved them. He wanted them to be whole. But there is something we have to always consider. With a crowd. And what in this transition today, as we go into Jesus' ministry, next week, well, next week's Easter, I might do something different. But coming next in this narrative, the choosing of the disciples. All right? So we're going to go from crowds to Jesus narrowing this down to a few people. So we're seeing this sorting going on in some ways. Our tradition, even today of in evangelicalism is coming out of a crowd mentality in some ways. All right? You know, we've made some mistakes along the way. I think of like in the 80s, the whole mega church movement, which was a big thing. Right? I went to seminary. That's what we talked about. That was the model. Okay? We're starting to see some problems coming out of that model. You know? And I think, again, there's some really good happening. Okay? Just like in any crowd, some good can happen. But I think sometimes in these mega church context, we mistake followers for fans. People who are just there because something good is happening. I'm getting something to eat. It's a spectacle. There's, boy, look at this. There's this church service and there's like smoke coming up from the back or, you know, people coming on. Crazy stuff, right? And we pat ourselves on the back and say, look at how many we have here. Or crusades. Again, great things. I was thinking just this morning about, I had the privilege, I call it a privilege, of being able to go to a Billy Graham crusade in the mid-90s. It was in Minneapolis. You know, you talk about spectacle. This is spectacle. Okay, folks, let's just call it what it is. It was a big deal. They had the Metrodome in downtown Minneapolis, holds 50, 60,000 people, and that thing was packed out every night with people coming to hear the gospel. You know, and I had the privilege of being a counselor and talk with people about coming to Christ. It was wonderful, all right? Thousands and thousands of people. Now, here's the thing, though, all right? At the end of the day, you know, they'd gather up these cards, stacks and hundreds and thousands of cards of people who checked the box and said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And I'm sorry, I can't help but wonder because how many of that stack are they followers or are they just fans? Now, some, again, you just, you know, who did become followers? I know people. I know people who from that event got into a church, plugged in, grew. You know, I mean, wonderful. I've seen it, right? But I also know that, you know, part of a crusade was, as a counselor, they would send us names and we would follow, try to follow up with these folks. And I had many, many, many who were just like, leave me alone, right? I have family members who went to the crusade. You know, it's interesting. You know, it was a big event. It was on the news. And so people just went to see what was going on, which is great. I mean, I love it. But we just need to be careful, folks, that we do not mistake being a follower with just being a fan. To be a follower is different. Jesus, in his ministry, didn't discriminate. He was broad. He loved them all. Come, come, come. And he didn't hold back. But as we're going to see in the weeks to come, there is a sorting that goes on of true followers, or again, just fans. And I think that in our thinking, you know, our challenge always is, you know, there's a good question I ask, you know, we ask ourselves, why did you come here this morning? Okay, pretty sure it's not the spectacle. Okay, I understand that, right? But there can be other reasons besides just being a follower of Christ. It's comfortable. I've always gone. My parents dragged me. Whatever it may be, right? Are you here because you're a fan or a follower? And that can vary something we're doing, right? I mean, I've been here almost 6 years. There's probably been a Sunday or two where I'm here because it's my job. Right? I mean, that could just, you know, that's just what it is sometimes. We are Jesus, where he challenges us in our thinking of, are you going to follow me? Are you going to follow me? Because here's the thing, is that we live, it's a good word, but being a follower of Christ is to live in contingency. We live in contingent times. Contingent meaning unknown or you know, could be random, right? Think about the healings that went on, right? So people cried because of healings. Now we understand, and we know that in this in-between, already not yet time, we've prayed for people who to be healed. I prayed for lots of people to be healed. And I've seen lots of people not get healed, specifically, according to my prayers. Now, I've had the privilege of having some people that prayed for recover or be healed. It happens. But the truth of the matter is that in those kinds of prayers, in our already not yet world we live in, it may happen or it may not. And the difference between a fan and a follower is how to react to that kind of a already not yet life that Jesus calls us to in this world today. If it does happen, healing happens like we're seeing here, or someone's delivered or restored, we rejoice, we glorify God, we thank him. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord when the sun is shining down on me. And then in the may not, we persevere, we unite, we grow in Christ-likeness. And so either way, we are following Christ. Either way, God is glorified. Either way, our hearts and our thoughts are beyond what's just simply right here. Too many people, they see the hypocrisy in church folks, right? We're not perfect. It happens. And they see the failings or the downfall of people, and they fall away, right? We're going to see that coming in the Gospel of Mark. Look at people who, you know, after Jesus, you know, he's going to feed them later, feeding 5,000, and they're getting food. But then once they stopped getting food, or maybe he wasn't, you know, specifically healing them, or whatever, they may say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. And that's because the contingent nature of this already now, already not yet, if they're not getting what they want, then they're not really following Jesus. They're just there as a fan. Because it's cool or it's trendy. The contingent nature of our life here doesn't discourage us from following him. It gives us hope. A follower in the face of the pain, the suffering, the evil we see all around us. It doesn't drive us to despair. We despair. We grieve. I was thinking about our dear Pastor Bud, whose funeral was this week, and I went to I found myself weeping. I went to the review on Tuesday, and you know, I wasn't expecting that. You know, I know Bud, and I'm very sad, but just, and it was just because the grieving of the wrongness of this world. And then, oh, you know, but see, we are moved towards hope. We are more moved towards being more Christ-like. This the issues of this world, if you know, we pray for healing and recovery, we get it or not, propels us to pray in hope, to pray for the complete restoration that we know is coming. When we pray for healing, we know. If we pray for a brother or sister in Christ who's a follower of Christ, if I pray for them, I know they're going to be healed. I can believe that in all my heart. Now, it may not be this week or this month or in this life, but it's healing nonetheless. That is what drives our prayers. We can say, Lord, come. Lord, restore. Be it now or later, we know it's coming and we are going to hang on until then. So, in the kingdom of God thinking, in this upside downness of what he's presenting us, we see ministry is broad, it's inclusive, it's grace-filled, it's generous, it's doing good, it's for people and caring for people. Whatever kind of people, all people, it's in following. So the ministry is broad, the following is narrow. The ministry is in many ways easy. Just come. I'll help you. We'll minister to you. We'll look to your needs. We'll be generous. But the following can be difficult, hurtful, suffering and hopeful and uniting and drawing together community. So that's why I kind of saw that in this, that as Jesus is looking at these crowds in compassion, we're going to see in the next week or so the narrowing of his ministry of disciples and real followers. And again, asking that question that's going to be asked throughout this and was asked today. Who is this man? Who is he? Jesus. And so we want to challenge ourselves even daily. Today I'm going to be a follower. I'm going to be a fan. I'm not going to be a, you know, someone just thinks they're cool. I'm going to be a hardcore and really follow them around and commit my lives to him. That's our desire today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that by your Spirit that you would work in us. Help us, Lord, in the struggles, the trials, the sufferings, the discouragements of this life, that we would be followers of Christ. Help us, Lord, not to fall into despair. Help us, Lord, to be desiring to draw people to you. And that as we minister in broad, generous, flourishing, life-giving ways, the people whose lives we touch will be drawn to you, not as a fan, but a true follower of Christ. And help us, Lord, in our comings and goings, to be your followers. We thank you and praise you in confidence that you are with us. And so we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.